This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Hi, this is Patsy with a Z. Welcome to Joy on Paper, a program for writers and those who dream of writing, and for everyone who wants to know the story behind the book. Coming to you from Tantalk Radio's network studio in glorious Clearwater, Florida. Oh, I'm so excited today. I have a fantastic guest, C.J. Box, a member of Mystery Writers of America and New York Times best-selling author, who has his latest in his series, Joe Pickett series. It's just coming out, and it's, you know, hi there, C.J., how are you?
I'm fine, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Okay, where are you today? Are you in Wyoming?
I am in Cheyenne, Wyoming. The book tour begins later today.
Okay, because this is so exciting. This is your 17th, Joe Pickett?
16th, Joe Pickett.
16th, and probably you're working on the 17th.
That's right.
Well, of course, I think March 1st was a very special day for you, right? Was March 1st... C.J. Box Day?
Or? Oh, yeah. There was a county here in Wyoming that declared it C.J. Box Day.
Well, that's pretty great, isn't it?
Yeah, I got a proclamation and everything. It was a little bit embarrassing, but that was fun.
Oh, no. For a writer, it's a great thing. Not too many writers get to have a whole day for themselves, so this is fantastic. Well, you know, I'm thrilled to talk to you. One, because you wear a cowboy hat, and I love a man in a cowboy hat. So I love to look at your picture on the back cover. So that's wonderful. And now, well, for anyone who doesn't know this wonderful series, we have to talk about it. But it, you know, the newest book. You know, we always say when an author, you know, this was better than the last one, but this book is called Off the Grid, and it is off the charts, as far as I'm concerned. It is a marvelous, marvelous book, and so exciting. Let's talk a little bit.
Wow, thank you very much.
Well, you know, it just blew me away from the very, very first chapter, and I loved that first chapter. We're not giving anything away, because we're talking about, it starts with a falcon, and I know that you do so much research, so you did some falconry yourself?
I was never a falconer. To become a real falconer, especially a master falconer, you almost have to devote your life to that, to the bird and the art of falconry and getting out and hunting with that falcon and taking care of it. But I'm fascinated by it, and I grew up with a guy who I kind of patterned the character Nate Romanowski after, who was a big guy, big blonde guy. He was a middle linebacker on the football team, and he went into the military and into special forces. And I used to go falconry hunting with him. And then through him met many other falconers and could kind of get their worldview and the way they look at things and their special relationship with falcons and with the outdoors and with animals and the wilderness. So I use that characterization throughout the book. And the falconry aspects actually turn out to be pretty important in Off the Grid, although you don't have to be an expert in falconry to know that.
Well, it the opening part with the whole story, it's really big sky country. You always are able to, you know, writing about the West, you make it so believable. It's just so, you can just feel the expansiveness of your writing when you're describing the scenery, and it's fantastic how you capture it. And let's talk a little bit about Joe Pickett, what Joe Pickett is and why he's out there in Wyoming.
Sure. Joe Pickett is a Wyoming game warden. He lives in a small state-owned home with his family, his wife and his three daughters, and he's kind of a paycheck-to-paycheck guy, but And he's not necessarily the best shot or the best fighter or the sharpest knife in the drawer at times, but he's very dogged in his investigations. And in this case, Joe is tasked by the governor of Wyoming to go into the Red Desert area to try to locate his friend Nate Romanowski, who they know is there, but they don't know why. Turns out Nate Romanowski has been sent there by a kind of shadowy government agency that has made a deal with them that if Nate will investigate what might be a terrorist cell, they'll drop the charges that are against them. So Joe, Nate, and Joe's daughter, Sheridan, who's the senior in college, all one way or other wind up in this very remote location for all the action that takes place.
And a lot of action takes place. That's all I will. I'm not going to give away the whole story because by the time you get to near the end of the book, the action is like nonstop. It is fantastic. It's like going on a roller coaster almost. It's amazing how you create the.
Oh, good. Well, thanks.
Oh, no, it's fantastic. And of course, the nice thing about, as you said, Joe Pickett is now your 16th, and they've aged nicely. We've learned followed the family along with the story over these years. I think, the first one came out in 2001, I think, 2000?
That's correct. Yeah. Exactly right.
Exactly. So it's nice to see the progression and the family, and it's nice that we have a hero who has a family. You know, so often they're sort of one-man shows, and it's you've just created... Joe Pickett is an unlikely hero, a government worker, but he's great.
Well, thank you. Yeah, it was. I didn't realize at the time when I wrote the first book, Open Season, with Joe Pickett in it, for one thing, I didn't know it was going to be a series, but I also I didn't really think about that the fact that most protagonists in mystery series and thrillers really have no attachments with family and friends and a community. So I know this is a little different, but I've been very happy that readers have kind of embraced this take on things and have kind of grown up with Joe Pickett and his family over 16 books.
It gives a depth to the character that so often, this single hero character, you get sort of bored with. I mean, always, just not real. You don't ever feel that they're completely real. But with Joe, it's real. And, of course, your other characters, and particularly Nate. Nate is a fantastic character.
Well, he's very larger than life in a lot of ways, in that the book begins with him literally trying to live off the grid so that he can't be found anywhere. So he stays away from cell phones, stays off computers. Unfortunately, a mistake is made and he is found. But he's very much an individualist and really lives it within his own code. And although he often officially breaks the law, he always feels like he's doing the right thing.
And in fact, I think much of the book is about the whole idea of literally staying off the grid and the question of how plugged in we are in this society. So, but you don't make it like doesn't overcome the story. The story is broad, but it's definitely you often, well, all of your books, you've been, I don't know, fortunate or clever or advanced thinker that you've really touched on so many things that affect people, conservation.
Well, I appreciate that. It's not an agenda book. It's not a political viewpoint book. It's just an exploration of the subject matter of being on the grid versus off the grid. And, cell phones and electronics. And I try to contrast the really high-tech kind of opening with a scene where, and I'm giving much away, where suddenly Joe Pickett finds himself off the grid. His phone won't work, his watch won't work, his truck won't drive, and he's on foot in the desert by himself. And the juxtaposition of all that connectedness with suddenly being almost in a primitive environment on your own is kind of what the book's about.
Well, can you imagine most young people today, if that happened to them, They wouldn't know how to function.
Their heads would explode.
Exactly. I mean, I come from the Northern Peninsula, Michigan, and, you know, we got everything late. We got television, like, years later than any place else. We didn't get cell phones until very late. And even up to a few years ago, I went up north, and we had to drive to a hill to get cell phone reception. So
that sounds a lot like Wyoming.
Exactly. So, you know, it's so funny to think of how people would react without all of this. So
yes, and it took a lot of planning and a lot of research to get to to be able to render that authentically.
Well, you did a great job, and you know, as I said, we don't want to give the whole story away, but if people start reading this book, you can't put it down. It's just amazing.
Thank you.
And I think the wonderful thing about if people haven't read your previous books, when they read this book, they'll want to go back and follow, you know, go back to the beginning. And that's the great thing about, you know, Amazon and Barnes & Noble and all of that, that you can get this kind of thing nowadays. You can go back
right.
and
I'm a reader like you are, and I love to read series, but at the same time, I don't think people need to necessarily think they're committing to a 16-book series by, you know, starting at the beginning. I think each book kind of stands alone, although the characters continue on. They can pick it up at any point in the series and give it a shot.
Exactly. And now, of course, mentioning standalone books, I have to mention that your first standalone book, Blue Heaven, right?
Right.
It won a prize for... What prize was that?
That was the Edgar Award.
The
for
Edgar.
Best novel.
Isn't that fantastic?
2008.
Wow, that's a fantastic prize to win for, you know, it's an amazing award. And, of course, as a standalone book, I have to mention this because I would love readers to go back and find this book, and as you said, 2008, and read it because it's really, really fascinating. Let's quickly mention about where it's set and a little bit about the story, because I want to intrigue the listeners to go and get this book.
Are you talking about Blue Heaven?
Blue Heaven.
Blue Heaven is set in North Idaho. And that's one reason it's not a Joe Pickett book, because it's not set in Wyoming. It's in North Idaho or in like 2004, 2005, when the economics were a little bit different around the country, there were over 1,000 ex-LAPD who sold their homes in L.A. and moved to North Idaho, and the idea of that really intrigued me, to have thousands of big city cops in a very rural area. So the book's set there, and I figured if there's 1,000 ex-LAPD, there's probably 3 or 4 really bad ones. And the story went on from there, but it's very much grounded in that almost Pacific Northwest area.
And it is an exciting book, and I hadn't known about all of these retired policemen, and that you got this idea, you know, once you knew about it to do this book. It's really, it's a heart-stopping thing, because there's a lot of action in that one too, and I happen to know about that book particularly because one of the authors I recently interviewed, T. Jefferson Parker, loves that book.
Oh yeah, he's a pal of mine.
Yeah, I know. And he loves that book. He's had a lot of good things to say about it. So,
oh, how nice. That's good.
So
that's
I wanted to mention it, so that this is the wonderful thing about, you know, being able to talk to authors, not just about the current book, because Off the Grid is, you know, just being released, and it's an exciting thing, and I know you're going to be doing a big book tour, and people will hear about it, but I want them to go and look at your webpage. You have a very nice webpage.
Thank you.
And read your other books, too. And particularly...
Yeah, and that's cjbox.net.
Yes, cjbox.net. It's a good webpage. And, of course, I want people to, you know, both writers and readers to really expand their horizons as you are able to you know, your depiction of the West is amazing. I just, as I said, I just love it. I just that open sky feeling, the whole Western milieu, you know, knowing that you've been a part of it and that you live this part. You are in, you know, you don't have to make it up. You're right there.
That's right. And the interesting thing about one of the many interesting things about, you know, writing stories set in Wyoming is just that it's such a huge state, and, you know, in terms of how big it is, it's as big as France, and there's only 600,000 people in it, but the landscape is extremely diverse. You know, it goes from Yellowstone Park and the Grand Teton Mountains to the Red Desert, like Bighorn Mountains, where Joe Pickett usually is. So I kind of move them around the state into different areas and different landscapes, and I think that keeps the series fresh, and I know it keeps me always interested.
Well, as I said, it's amazing. Your writing is amazing, and I just love it. And I wanted to, you know, one of the things I try to do with this this program, Joy on Paper, when we read your books, we can feel the joy that you have in writing. And I want you to tell a little bit to the writers in my audience that it didn't come, you know, overnight.
Oh, no.
And that, you know, sometimes I recently spoke at a writer's conference, and a writer said to me, well, I've worked on this for 6 months, and now I'm ready to send query letters. And he said,
right. I often describe it as my 20-year overnight success story. Out of college, my first job was as a journalist, small-town journalist on a newspaper. And that's when I first started writing, or at least thinking about the concept of a first novel, which later, much later, became Open Season. But I wrote it, I rewrote it, wrote a couple other manuscripts. It took 20 years from the time I started the book to when I finally had it published. And it was even 18 months between when they bought it and when it came out. So it took a long time. Luckily, I was never a starving artist, and I had a good job, and I started a company, and was involved in a lot of things. So it wasn't the be-all and end-all, but when it finally happened, then it took off kind of like a rocket, and it's been a great ride ever since. But getting there was not easy, and it was certainly takes a lot of time.
And it doesn't hurt to have a lot of different occupations in your life, because you bring all of that into your writing. So, you know,
I agree. I think you can tell the difference between a book written by somebody who has gone to college and taken creative writing courses and started right after that versus those who've been out in the world and worked different jobs and gotten around. And I think the experience comes through.
Exactly, because you feel like when you're writing even a minor character, you know, in many cases you've done that job or you've been with people who have done that job, and as you said, you know somebody who does falconry, you know these people, or whether I know that you always are sort of a hands-on kind of guy with your research, too.
Right, and I still like to do that. I love to do that. In fact, if there's an area I want to write about or a subject matter, I like to put on my old journalist hat and interview people and travel and go there and you know, get the feeling for an area, get the idea of what the people are like and what's important to them. And I think I always learn things that I never thought I would find, and that can make the books a little richer.
And that's what we're looking for. We want to make sure that when you read a book, you feel complete. And by the end, with your books, the people I know who have read your books, you know, I've talked to them about it. They say, "Oh well, they end too quickly. We could go on for, you know, another 100 pages." So, it's wonderful, and I'm so thrilled that you you know, could make the time to talk to me, because I know you're very, very busy. And how many places are you going on your book tour?
I think it's 23 cities this time. It's quite a book tour, and it's every part of the U.S., from Seattle to New York to Atlanta to Dallas and Houston and Denver. It's all over the place. But I love the events. I love to meet readers. sometimes the travel between places isn't as much fun, but meeting readers is pretty great.
Well, and I know nowadays, of course, everybody will want to get a selfie with you so they can see, they can find out your tour information on your website, right?
That's right, yes.
Okay, cjbox.net, okay? So,
correct.
Yeah, because people might go to the wrong one, but I want to make sure they know it's .net. And check out CJ's event tour, and if it's near you, you should go down and get a nice selfie with this big hunk of a guy in a cowboy hat. And just, I want to thank you. I'm going to, I know you have another friend, John Sanford.
Yes, I'm a big fan of his.
I think he
doesn't get enough credit for how good he is.
Well, I'm going to send him an invitation, so I hope you tell him that there's one on the way to him, and I would love for him to come on and talk to me too.
Yeah, I don't know if I'll see him in the future, when I'll see him, I should say, but if I do, I will.
Okay. Well, thank you again, CJ Box, and the book, the new book is Off the Grid, and everyone should go out and get it and really enjoy themselves. Thanks, CJ.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Bye-bye now.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Are you a writer? Do you have a great idea for a movie? Want to know how to get started? Then join the Actors, Screenwriters, and Crew Production Group. They meet every month in Clearwater to talk about how to construct a winning script, get your script read by the group, or just join in the fun. Contact Barbara Harrington, the best-selling author of Give Him Back to God, for time and location. She brings her experience as a screenwriter and casting director in such hit films as Cocoon and Absence of Malice to this lively group of film enthusiasts. So call Barbara, 727-572-6345, or email her at bharrington2@tampabay.rr.com. Get inspired, and one day you may hear those magic words, lights, camera, action. Call Barbara for details at 727-572-6345.
Hi, I'm John Rakowski with Charles Ruttenberg Realty. Don't you love living here in the Tampa Bay area? Oh, I'm sorry, you don't live here yet? Well, if you already are or thinking about it, call me at my office at 727-538-9200 extension 2 for any real estate needs, including a free market analysis of your home. Your home is worth more than you can imagine. Call me today at 727-538-9200 extension 2. I'm John Rakowski.
Looking for a good book? Whether you want the latest bestseller or a rare book, Haslam's Bookstore at 2025 Central Avenue in downtown St. Petersburg is the place to visit. Haslam's has been in business for over 70 years and is the largest new and used bookstore in Florida. With 30,000 square feet and over 300,000 books, you'll find just the right book for you. Bestsellers, cookbooks, military, history, and so much more. Check out their website, www.haslams.com, to find out about their special events. Remember, Haslam's, one of Florida's true treasures, 2025 Central Avenue in St. Petersburg, and they're open on Sundays from noon to 5.
This is the Tantalk Radio Network.
Patsy with a Z, and I'm back. I just want to talk a little before I have my next guest, who is Dr. Bob Arnott. He's you've heard him many times on he was on NBC, CNBC as a medical expert, and he also has a travel show called Dr. Danger. If you haven't seen it yet, it's available on Hulu, and it is really fun. He goes to all sorts of dangerous places, and that's saying a lot. And so he's a really fascinating guy, and I'm looking forward to this next interview. Meanwhile, I just want to say again how great it was to talk to CJ Box. His book is really good, Off the Grid, and It is a page turner. So if you're looking for a real thriller, this is the book to get. The last half hour was brought to you actually by Larson & Larson. I just want to say that whether you're a writer, an illustrator, or an inventor, you need to protect your valuable intellectual property. And the attorneys at Larson & Larson can help you. For a free consultation, call 727-546-0660. They're my lawyers, and they should be yours. And I call Bill Larson of Larson & Larson, the writer's legal eagle. So stay tuned on Thursday when he's going to be in the studio with me to answer questions. Again, I want to thank everybody who sent me such nice emails. Last Thursday was my first anniversary of my radio program, and I can tell you that Joy on Paper has been a real joy for me. It's been a joyful year filled with talking to so many fantastic authors, getting to know so many interesting people. I've met so many writers, local writers, who are fantastic, and I'm so thrilled that I'm able to give them a platform where they can come and talk about their books, because it is so important. It is one of the things that writers have to do nowadays. You have to get out there and sell your books and build this platform. And, of course, one of the nice places on a platform is to be on a radio program, because we reach a lot of people. And I'm so thrilled that, again, I got a lovely email all the way from the Ukraine. So I'm so thrilled with all of the listeners, not just here in the Tampa Bay area, but the ones who listen in California and the state of Washington. I've got quite a few romance writers up there in the state of Washington who listen every week. They get up early in the morning and they're listening, because I met them at the Beach Babes Book Blast, which was here last year. And it's going to come up again in the fall. And it was a wonderful event. And there were, I think, 65 romance writers. And it was so much fun to meet all of them. And I've been really happy to be able to keep up with their news and to have a number of them on the program. And I will have more of them throughout the summer. I'm going to devote a couple of days just to romance authors so that we can prepare for the next Beach Babes Book Blast. And I just want to thank everyone for sending me such nice emails. I was really thrilled, and I will treasure them all. So thank you so much. Now, before I get to Dr. Bob Arnott's interview, I just want to remind everyone again, if you're, when we're talking about a writer's platform, it's so important that you look for all the ways in which you can reach your audience. And I was talking to a writer recently, and she mentioned that one of the things she does is that she actually tweets during a television show that relates to her book. In this case, it's a vampire book, and during the while that show is on, she tweets, live tweets, tweets to everybody about it. And so that, because she wants the people to get her name recognized as a vampire book writer. And so it's a very smart thing to do, to find out the television show that relates to the type of book you write. If you're writing a mystery, you might want to do Castle. If you're writing a police drama, you might want to do Law and Order or one of those programs, and just get onto their live tweets with them and with also the stars of the show, and just tweet about what you like about the show. And it's another way to get your name out there, because that's the name of the game. In a few weeks, I'm going to have a writer on, and she's going to tell an extraordinary story. It boggles my mind. She has sold 10 million books, 10 million, just in a way that's so clever that it's quite, really quite amazing. So it's a as soon as I have a date and a confirmation of her appearance, I'll let you know, because it's a fascinating story. But again, it's one of perseverance. She went out there and she did, well, all the right things and more. And that's what you have to do. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to bring you some people who have really been involved in promoting books and talking about how to go about it and giving you suggestions on, for example, in this live tweet idea of tweeting during your favorite shows. Another one is to think about, like, if you know that your book is a kind of one that is going to appeal to a specific audience, you can try to get onto other blog posts where you can be a guest blogger and write about, for example, the 10, if you like the Vampire Diary television series, 10 books you might want to read, and then naturally include yours, because that's what you want to do. You want to get it out there and get the name out there in as many locations as possible. And so for all of the writers who think that, well, I've written the book and I'm done, well, you're not done. You got a lot of work to do. But meanwhile, we're going to now listen to Dr. Bob Arnott, because he has done something fantastic, and he's going to talk about my very, very favorite subject, coffee. I love coffee. So here we go. We're going to listen to Dr. Bob Arnott. I am thrilled to welcome to Joy on Paper Dr. Bob Arnott, who is going to be talking about one of my favorite subjects, the writer's nectar, coffee. Hi, Doctor.
Patty, it is my favorite chew. What a treat. How will we ever write without it?
I don't know. I couldn't do well. I am from the Upper Peninsula of Michigan. I'm a Youper, which means I am a Finlander. So I don't need to tell you that Finlanders live on coffee anyway.
Well, and a lot of it. You know, there's a Finnish study of men drinking coffee, and those who were drinking 8 cups of coffee a day had the best protection against depression. So you sure are leading the charge. And I used to race cross-country skiing against a lot of Finns who are very tough and very good.
It's hard to beat them. Boy, when they get their coffee, and then they can move. You know, I, like all Finlanders, I mean, I was raised on coffee. I know that the average Finlander drinks 25 pounds of coffee a year easily. And that's men, women, and child. So this is a wonderful product that you developed here. Let's hear about what is this, Dr. Danger Coffee. I love it.
So it's called Dr. Danger Coffee after my TV show, and it's not a dangerous coffee, but if you are in dangerous situations, like on my TV show, we were downtown Mogadishu in Somalia with a bunch of crazed gunmen or chasing around after the Taliban with special forces out in Afghanistan. It's kind of a fun name. It's meant to be edgy, but
I love it.
It's a serious coffee. You know, we source coffees worldwide. We found, you know, way high up in Kenya and in Ethiopia, these coffees that had, again, staggering amounts of polyphenols, up to 35,000 milligrams, contrasted with, you know, 4, 8, 10 you'll find in usual coffees. So phenomenal. And, you know, I really wanted to sort of author in a coffee like authoring a book, so I wanted to do everything for the consumers. So we had a special roast profile, special packaging, everything, so you know you're getting the highest performance coffee possible with Dr. Danger. DrDangerCoffee.com, great website, lots of videos, lots of information. Learn all about this and some very fun coffees from Hardcore and Surgical Strike to Night Ops.
Well, it is, and I love the design of the coffee bag. It's beautiful. It's just, it catches your eye. So tell us more about tell people why they should drink coffee.
Well, so here's the interesting, you know, all the time that I was, you know, at CBS and NBC, we were looking around for the next story on why coffee was terrible for you. And because coffee drinkers tend to drink a lot, smoke a lot, eat too much, be overweight and whatnot, people thought it was cause and effect. But once Walter Willis' group at Harvard School of Public Health looked at 5 main consumer years of coffee consumption, they saw there was a 15% decrease in all-cause deaths for women and 10% for men. being able to take all those extraneous factors out and finally say, this looks pretty good. A lot of people like myself actually believe that coffee is the new superfood.
Well, I agree. I think, you know, it just changes you when you have coffee. And this whole thing about being depressed, coffee is really great. And I know particularly with women, there was a study that showed that women who drink coffee are less depressed.
Again, out of the Harvard School of Public Health, and it showed the more coffee that they drank, the lower their risk of depression was. And what we believe this is, Patsy, is that, you know, inflammation is a driving force of illnesses like heart disease, but it's also a driving force behind depression. And so what it does is it basically diverts a key pathway in the brain to make more of a bad neurotransmitter than a good one. By putting all these anti-inflammatory compounds in, the theory is that you're basically now changing, so you're making more of this feel-good neurotransmitter, which is called serotonin. So, you know, a good theory behind it, good observational work here, and we actually are undertaking a real clinical trial like you would for a drug company to show what kind of dose and what kinds of coffees work best. But for now, you know, look for coffees very high in polyphenols if you're trying to use it in terms of fighting depression. And remember, for depression, you know, see a great psychiatrist first. Get the right diagnosis. Make sure you're on the right therapy. That includes medications. And use caffeine as an adjunct, or use coffee as an adjunct. But don't ever go it alone.
Well, you know, for writers, right? Writers, you know, I start off at 5 o'clock in the morning or 4:45 in the morning, and I need that coffee first to start, and then once I get going, even if I was depressed, I wouldn't be depressed anymore because I've got the coffee going and I've got the, and I'm writing like crazy, and it's just so much fun for a writer to be moving and up in early in the morning and working. So I highly recommend Dr. Danger coffee.
Don't you find too patchy? I mean, I get up and I write in the morning, and, you know, if I've had a rough night's sleep, or, you know, for whatever reason I'm not that sharp, I go and I take this Kenyon AA Dr. Danger coffee, and I take 2 cups of that. And, man, I am as sharp as I was when I was 17 years old without a hangover.
Well, man,
do I feel good.
I know. It's fantastic. It really is. It, you know, I was so thrilled when I got the sample, and I thought, oh, wow, this is you know, better than anything I've ever had. And I said, I've tried every coffee in the world, because I lived in the Middle East, and I've lived in Europe, and so I've lived all over the place, and I've tried coffees all over, you know, in every country, and having spent time in Turkey and other countries. So I know what a good cup of coffee is.
That's very, very kind of you, Pat. We've put a lot of time and effort, and this also rewards these poor farmers in Africa with better prices so that they too can build better schools and hospitals and health care for their kids.
Yes, that was one of the nice things that you're doing with the entire thing of encouraging and paying the coffee growers a good price so that they can benefit from it.
So important, you know, to be able to do that. It's also a great hedge, you know, against global warming, that you these coffee bushes and the shade trees actually suck up a lot of carbon dioxide, so it's a good sink against global warming. So you're really helping yourself, and you're helping the world in a lot of ways you may not have known.
Oh, it's wonderful. I think the work that you do all the time, and just all of the programs that you bring to us all for so many years are just always so helpful and help us understand the world better in general. And to know that you've developed this coffee is just fantastic. So I'm really thrilled with it. And I know that all the Finlanders I know in the Upper Peninsula are going to be, boy, something new that they can grab, because we all live on, well, we were raised, we started drinking coffee as children in a saucer, you know, next to our parents. That's how they'd pour a little bit of coffee in a saucer. And that was our first coffee. And of course, we all, being Finlanders, we always had cinnamon rolls. So we sort of have this cinnamon coffee thing that we have to have. It just gets us moving in the day, and it's fantastic. I'm just so happy to be able to promote this with all of my Upper Peninsula friends, and of course with all of the writers that I get to talk to at writers' meetings and things. I know that one of the things we do always reach for is our coffee. So
and the interesting thing too, Pat, you know, for writers, I'm doing my 14th book now, so I count myself among them, is that it's smooth energy. You know, that these Dr. Danger coffees have so many phenols in them that they blunt the jaggy effects of caffeine, so you feel smooth and you can sit there, you know, for 4, 6, 8 hours and focus and concentrate and write without starting to get edgy and feeling you have to, you know, go out and knock over a convenience store.
And do you have recommendations on how it should be brewed?
You know, I like AeroPress the very best. The only recommendation I really have is make sure you freshly grind your coffee. You wouldn't peel a banana and leave it out all day and eat it, and you don't want to grind coffee and leave it out. You want to grind it and use it right away. And then lots of wonderful techniques, whether it's AeroPress, Chemex, Kalita, or even Mr. Coffee. They all work as long as you grind it the right way.
Yeah, I agree. Absolutely. That's one of the things that Finlanders love to do is grind their own coffee and have it really fresh. And it's such a wonderful thing to do in the morning. It's just like, oh, wow. Your eyes pop open just the minute you smell it.
So, and, you know, the smell is interesting. You know, those aromas have antioxidants in them. So part of the experience is learning how to drink a cup properly. And, you know, one is wafting all of those aromas because they're good for you. Plus, you get to experience all those. Most of the, you know, the taste and flavors in coffee are actually through the nose. You're just getting sort of sweet and sour on the tongue. But you get those through the nose. And the other is when you drink it, you do want to slurp it loudly. Sort of, they sound pretty obnoxious, but you're coating your tongue with it, and you're aerosolizing the coffee, so you're getting many more of those aromas up into the nasal cavity where you can truly appreciate them.
Well, that's what I learned from my grandfather, and he was drinking coffee. He was 98 years old, and still the most important thing of the day for him was his first cup of coffee.
And, you know, it's wonderful, you know, when we face so much economic gloom, is that the ability to just look forward to a coffee. I mean, it's such a wonderful friend, does so much for you, helps you be healthy, makes you alert and whatnot. It's a great taste treat. It's not very expensive, and it can be the very best thing in your day, as, you know, it's been for your grandfather. And it's probably half the reason why he made it to 98.
Exactly. Well, he always credited that. He really did. He always said, I need my coffee, and I can keep going as long as I want. So it was.
Well,
it was.
You know these blue zones worldwide, Patsy, where people live to these great old ages. One of them is on Ikaria Island in Greece, and one of their secrets is coffee. The more coffee they drink, the better their vascular health.
Well, I'm sure that's true because I know that this is what Finlanders have believed in forever. It's been sort of ingrained in us. As youpers, we're always told, drink your coffee and you'll feel better and you'll work better. And generally, that's exactly, I'm a very cheerful person, and I credit it a lot to the number of coffee, like 8-10 cups a day, I think I go through. So,
wow.
That's nothing compared to my brother, who can probably do 20 cups a day. So, we're going to be great Dr. Danger fans now.
Finns must have a super, super high metabolism for coffee because you can have high or low. And I've heard that many times, that Finns can drink, you know, those 6, 8, 10 cups a day and get away with it. The rest of us would all be in the pokey someplace.
No, I know, but really, Finns can. We're amazing when it comes to our coffee. It's something in us that we just need that coffee, and we're just so much happier when we get it. So, anyway, it's just wonderful to talk to you, and I'm so happy that I got the chance to, you know, get this sample and start to get really, you know, hooked on Dr. Danger coffee, because it's a wonderful, wonderful thing that you're doing. And I'm just very proud that I got to talk to you. And as you said, you are a writer, and of course, I've read some of your books in the past, and I hope that one day when your next book comes out, you'll come back on Joy on Paper, because this is a program for writers and for everyone who loves a good book.
Oh, great. Well, I will be early next year. It'll be the Coffee Hunter Diet.
Wow.
I love this.
Okay. Well, then we're going to have you back on to talk more about it. It's going to be really fascinating for my listeners. And, of course, any book about coffee, I will love. So thank you so much, Doctor, for being on today. And keep up all the good work. I love when you bring out all the stories that you do from around the world.
Well, Patsy, thanks for everything that you do for writers and for your viewers. They should be very grateful.
Okay, thanks. Have a great day.
Fantastic.
Okay, bye-bye now. Hi! Okay, well, I need a cup of coffee now. It was really nice to get the sample from him, and I want to encourage you, it's available on, there's a drdangercoffee.com website, and it's also available on Amazon, so if you are a Prime member, you might want to order it through there. But if not, go to drdangercoffee.com, and also I'm going to put a link on my website, and I also have a link on my website to the best cinnamon toast in the world. And it comes from up north, and so you can order both at the same time. Order the Dr. Danger coffee and order some cinnamon toast, and it's you'll have a wonderful combination there. So, and my website is radio-joyonpaper.com, and you can go there all the time to look at what's happening, upcoming interviews, and see all of the people that I've interviewed in the past. And there are also archives there, so you can listen to find your favorite author and listen to my interview with them, because it's so much fun to know more about the writers that you enjoy, to learn about the background of if you're a writer, how they achieved success, and just to be inspired by them, and to learn that backstory, to find out sort of a little bit more, and to build a relationship with your favorite writers. I want to also remind you that if you are a professional writer, you should join this really nice group. It's called Bay Area Professional Writers Guild. And they're meeting next Monday. They meet the fourth Monday of every month at Panera's on Starkey Road. And it's a very nice group. They're mostly professional writers who have already been published and have written in magazines, newspapers, etc. Many of them are also writing novels and biographies and ghostwriting. And they have a lot of insight into the process of writing. So if you have written, you would be more than welcome to join the group. And if you are just wanting to learn something, the group has associate memberships. And why you might want to do that is that every month they have an interesting speaker who comes and talks about some aspect of writing, whether getting your book out there and selling it. So you can become a member if you've already been published. And if you haven't been published, you can become an associate member. So that will be at Panera's on March 28th at 1 p.m., the one on Starkey Road. And it's a really nice Panera's. They have a nice big meeting room in the back. So do join that group. And then if you are looking for something to do on Friday and Saturday night, something to get yourself out of the house, away from reruns, and since most of the stuff on most of the videos to rent are not that great. So unless you're reading a good book, get up and get out and go on Friday night to the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. It's on Indian Rocks Road. It's just down the road from the post office. It's a lovely place, and it would be a really fun night for you. They have wonderful music, delicious wines, and just a joyful atmosphere. And that's the Miami Avenue Wine Bar. Now, if you have a legal question, for example, do you know what a grant of rights clause means? Or do you know how to protect yourself? If you hire an illustrator, how do you ensure that the illustrations belong to you, or that you can then later on merchandise or market these illustrations? Or if you have any legal questions about law, anything to do with writing or patents, send me your questions. And my email is Patsy, that's P-A-T-Z-I, patsy.radio@gmail.com. Because this coming Thursday, Bill Larson of Larson & Larson will be here in the studio with me. And as I said before, I call him the writer's legal eagle because he can answer all of your questions. And I already have a bunch of questions for him. We're going to cover copyright registration and international protection. And so that'll be right here on Thursday at 11 a.m. on Tampa Bay's Tan Talk Radio. And I hope that I can get some really nice questions for him to answer. One of the things that I would also like to recommend is that if you are looking for ideas on writing, I'm going to have a guest in a week from today, Lawrence Block, and he is an amazing writer. And I would suggest before you come to listen to the program that day, you might want to look at his webpage. He is, again, a writer who is the Mystery Writer of America Grandmaster. The wonderful thing about him is that he has written a great deal about writing and how to write. And he's very, very helpful to writers and very encouraging to writers. And I'm going to be discussing a great deal with him about what you should do when you're writing your book and how you should think about it in advance. And I think you'll find Lawrence Block to be a fascinating person. And he has written a book specifically, of course, many great mysteries, which is why he's a grandmaster. But I think he has written one of the best writer's books that you could ever have. And so I'm going to talk to him a lot about that. And that's going to be next Tuesday. I also have, as I mentioned earlier, I have an author who's coming on, and her story is really quite amazing, and how she sold 10 million books. I am still sort of having a little bit of a shock over how she managed to do it so fast and so quickly. And it's going to be lots of fun to talk to her. And over the next few weeks, I'm open to suggestions from any of you about authors that you want me to interview. And if I can get an author that you particularly want, someone that whose work that you really enjoy, I would love to have you come into the studio that day, the day I interview the author, and you can ask some of your own questions. So again, write me at patsy.radio@gmail.com and tell me which author you would like me to invite and why, and then I will contact the author, and when I get them booked, you can come in. So meanwhile, I just want to say it was great having this time with you today. And remember that one of the joys of life is to see your words on paper or to hear them spoken on stage or screen. So keep writing, or start writing if you haven't. And meanwhile, remember, don't let anyone steal your joy. Treasure it and share it. And I will see you on Thursday with the Writer's Legal Eagle. Thanks, and have a great day. Bye.